But before I introduce our speaker, I would like to call a call upon Bob Campbell, who has some announcements to make. Please, Bob.
Thank you, Ruth. A couple of things. First of all, you'll notice at your tables there are some papers and pens. We are conducting a survey, an evaluation survey, for the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. And we do value your opinions, and we also know that you do have opinions. Therefore, we would like to hear them. Secondly, we're trying something different this year, which we haven't done before. We've always had our annual general meeting in June, usually on a Monday evening, and the attendance has been absolutely abysmal. Therefore, this year, we're going to have our annual general meeting on June 29th at noon, in this venue right here at Erickson's, and you're all invited to come. So we would really encourage you to attend our annual general meeting on June the 29th. I also have another special announcement today. We have in our midst someone who was, it happens to be his birthday. Now, on most occasions, we wouldn't make such a fuss of it. But today happens to be Howard Forsyth's 94th birthday.
Proud of people I have ever been around in 94 years.
And so let's all join in singing Howard Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Howard. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Now, regarding today's luncheon, which I am very pleased and honored to moderate, I would advise that in doing so, I did not write or edit the advance flyer. Indeed, as a proud PC Party member over 30 years, I was a bit dismayed at the tone. Perhaps I am too sensitive, but I have great respect for the good heart of our Premier Ralph Klein and his many successes, which have benefited Alberta. And I'm a personal friend and have the greatest respect for our Minister of Health, Iris Heavens. At the same time, I know issues must be raised and discussed, and SACPA is a wonderful venue of healthy democracy in action. And a great bunch of people. Listen to Howard. So without further ado, I would like to now introduce Mr. David Hancock, a candidate for the leadership of the PC Party of Alberta, who has traveled down from Edmonton to be with us today. I'm going to put my glasses on and make sure I do this right now. David Hancock is in his third term as the member of the Legislative Assembly for Edmonton White Mud. He served as the Minister of Advanced Education and as Government House Leader, Vice Chair of the Standing Policy Committee on Education and Employment, and as a member of the Agenda and Priorities Committee and the Treasury Board. Mr. Hancock has also served as Minister of Justice and Attorney General, and prior to that, as Minister of Intergovernmental and Aboriginal Affairs. Mr. Hancock is a lawyer by profession and was a partner with Matheson & Company, barristers and solicitors, before entering public service. He received his law degree from the University of Alberta in 1979. A strong believer in giving back to the community, Dave Hancock supports numerous nonprofit and service organizations as time permits, including Success by Six, Meals on Wheels, Kiwanis Club, and Special Olympics Edmonton. Mr. Hancock was born in Fort Resolution, Northwest Territory, on August 10, 1955. He lived in Hazelton, B.C., and the northern community of Fort Vermilion, where he graduated from La Crete Public School. Mr. Hancock moved to Edmonton in 1972. He and his wife, Janet, have three children, Ian, Janice, and Janine. Please join me in a hearty welcome to Mr. David Hancock, our speaker today.
Well, thank you, Ruth. It's an honor and a privilege to be here today among old friends and hopefully some new ones. I see Bridget Pasteur is here. Bridget and I served on the Student Finance Board together years ago. And over here, I was looking for you back there. got to know each other well and developed, I hope, a mutual respect which continues. And obviously have had the good fortune in recent years to work with Bill Cade and the University of Lethbridge and the Lethbridge Community College as well, and been to Lethbridge a number of times on the advanced education agenda. But I'm just excited to be here today, and thank you for the invitation to come to talk about what we want to do in the future in this province. We're at a time of renewal, and while I've had the good fortune of visiting as intergovernmental affairs, as justice minister, as an advanced education minister, as a part of government with the current agenda in terms of what we're building for the province and what we want to say about the province, the Premier has now indicated that he will be retiring. And that's an opportunity for us to renew not only the leadership of our party, but the leadership of the province. At least, Bridget, for a year or two, and then an election to talk about the longer term. And so it's very important, I think, for all Albertans to have the opportunity to participate in the discussion, to know and understand and talk about what kind of a province we want to create. And after all, that is the role of government, in my view. It's talking about the big picture, the long term, the policy framework. And where better than this particular organization to talk about the policy framework for the future of Alberta. Lethbridge is a great place to talk about the future of Alberta from, because in many ways, Lethbridge is the kind of place that we want to create all of Alberta around. Lethbridge is a place where you embrace your knowledge community, where the university and the college are an integral part of the community. The research and development that goes along here are embraced as a very necessary part of your economic life and in building the community. Lethbridge is a place where if you meet someone on the street and talk to them about why they're here, yes, there are people here who were born here and who lived here all their lives, and there are people who were born here and went someplace else and came back here. But there are people here who chose to live in Lethbridge because of the quality of life. Chose to live in Lethbridge, start their businesses, either retire here or start their businesses here, because it's a place where they choose to live. And and where their employees want to live. And that's really when we talk about the province, what we want to create in the future. I had the privilege of chairing the 20-year strategic plan process for government, and being the author of the 20-year strategic plan. And we talked in the strategic plan about the four pillars of unleashing innovation, leading and learning, competing in a global marketplace, and making Alberta the best place to live, work, and visit. Unleashing innovation was really about how we move into the knowledge economy. How, in the future of Alberta, we've had the benefit of our non-renewable resources. We've had the benefit of oil and gas. We've built on an agricultural economy and a forestry economy. But as we go into the future, even in those traditional economies, we need to build based on knowledge. In the new economies of biosciences and life sciences, information technology, nanotechnology, we need to build on the basis of knowledge. And regardless of who you read about where the world is going, whether it's Friedman and talking about the world is flat and China emerging as a manufacturing giant and India emerging as a technology giant, or whether you read Richard Florida talking about the creative class and the pinnacles of excellence, when you think about where Alberta needs to be and where Canada needs to be in the world, in a global economy, we need to be at the creative edge. We need to be at the edge of knowledge. We need to be developing our people resources. We need to recognize that natural resources are great, but the people are what makes our opportunity and what creates our future. And so we need to invest in people. We need to invest in knowledge and knowledge creation. We need to support our post-secondary system. We need to support our K-12 system. We need to worry about, in the introduction it mentioned that I supported Success by Six. And I do a golf tournament every year which raises money but also raises profile for an organization called Success by Six. Because it's important that we help children overcome their barriers to success before they start school. So whether it's zero to six, K to 12, actually it starts before zero because we have to be worried about things like fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. But whether it's infants, whether it's children in the K to 12 system, or whether it's the post-secondary system, the best investment we can make in our future is investing and develop the knowledge and knowledge resources, the knowledge, skills, and abilities of people in this province. And so if I was elected as leader, I would be putting a very high priority on investing in people, on making sure that every Albertan has the opportunity to move from where they are now to where they can be. Because it's not just about creating more PhDs. It's not just about more research and development. It's also about those Albertans who need literacy skills. 40% of Albertans are at level 1 or level 2 literacy. Level 1 literacy, 15% of Albertans cannot read or write in English. The next 25% don't have the literacy skills that they need to participate fully in the economy or their community. That, even though that's the best rate in Western Canada, is not good enough. Every Albertan needs to have the ability to participate. And if we move to a knowledge-based economy, one of the potential risks is the gap between those who have and those who don't have will get wider unless we pay attention to making sure that every Albertan has the opportunity to participate. So investing in people is very, very important. Investing in our place is very important. We are here in Alberta right now, and it's a very fortunate place to be. We've got a good environment. We've got clean air. We've got clean water. We've got the big blue sky. We've got a little bit more than 3 million people, and we're probably going to grow to 4 million, 4.5 million, maybe 5 million over the course of our lifetime. And as we do that, we have to be very concerned about our place, about the impact that we're having, because first and foremost, we have to be stewards of our environment. We don't own this place. We're borrowing it for the time that God gives us to have it, and we ought to give it back to the future generation, or give it forward to the future generations better than we found it. That doesn't mean we can't develop. That doesn't mean we can't take advantage of our natural resources. That doesn't mean we can't utilize the place in the best interests of our society. But it does mean that we have to be careful about how we do it. It does mean we have to know and understand the impact that we're having. And it does mean we have to be a lot more careful about our air, land, and water, because those are the principal elements which keep us alive and make it possible for us to live. And as Albertans moving forward, we have a responsibility to the future to take care of our place. We also have a place in the world, a place in Canada in the world, I should say. And we have to be very cognizant of how we play our role in Canada and the world. Because we're a trading province. We trade out into the world. Even if we grow to 5 million population, we won't have enough people here to be an internal economy. And as we trade out into the world, we have to know and understand how we do that appropriately. And we're very fortunate. We're a very modern, progressive, cosmopolitan community. We don't necessarily always portray ourselves that way, but we are. We have people here from all over the world. We have a cosmopolitan makeup in our community. And there's a huge advantage to that for us. First of all, we can learn and understand from people who've come from various cultures and various communities around the world. Secondly, we live together here in peace and harmony better than in most places in the world. And so we have a story to tell, I think. Not that it's perfect. It can be better. But we do have something that we can demonstrate to the world in terms of how to live together in peace and harmony. And thirdly, we have friends and relatives all over the world. So as we trade out into the world, we have a natural advantage. And again, it's based on people. So people and place, in my view, are two of the most important things that we have to focus on as we go forward. There's two other P's that I want to reflect on just briefly. Prosperity. We are currently in the middle of very strong economic prosperity. That's a good thing. It helps to make sure that we have opportunities for our families. It helps pay the bills. It helps us to build the kind of communities we want to live in. It helps us to look at the things that make life worth living. It's a very good thing to do, to have prosperity. All of us can remember when it wasn't quite as good as this. We know that the oil and gas economy has been a very volatile economy. So currently we have oil in excess of $70 a barrel. I haven't looked at the newspaper this morning, but I assume it's still over $70 a barrel and likely trending up a little bit. We have gas at a very high price. We sell those in a world commodity market, and we do very well by it. But those are non-renewable resources. First of all, that we can't count on that to last forever. We're past the peak of production of our traditional oil and gas. We're into oil and gas production, whether it's coal bed methane or the oil sands or even tertiary recovery in our traditional wells that requires technology and knowledge. So we can't count on it forever. We can't count on the price staying up. But even if the price does stay up, if the price of oil stays over $70 a barrel for any extended length of time, somebody's going to be looking for and inventing the next energy source. And if energy is one of the cores of our economy, ought that not to be us? So we need to take our current prosperity, the non-renewable resource revenue that we have, which belongs, yes, to Albertans, but not just to the Albertans who are here today, it also belongs to future Albertans, and invest that, to turn it into a renewable resource, into endowing the future. And in government, I've been a champion of endowing the future. I was pleased to be able to design the Bill 1 last year, the Access to the Future Act, which in the act provided for $4.5 billion of additional endowments. $500 million to the Alberta Ingenuity Fund, $1 billion to the Heritage Scholarship Fund, and $3 billion to the Access to the Future Fund. And I said five by mistake because we'd already committed to another $500 million to the Heritage Medical Research Fund. But that ought to be just a beginning. First of all, we ought to populate those funds quickly, and then we ought to be looking to what needs to be done next. Humanities, social sciences, and the arts to round out the investment portfolio, to round out the research that we need to do. We need to do an environment fund to know and understand better how we do development while respecting our environment and while leaving the smallest footprint possible. As we grow, that's going to be essential and important. We should be looking at a fund which helps us to know and understand the rural economy and the rural community, because while we're having aggressive growth on the Canamex corridor and the Y up to Fort McMurray, there's still a lot to work on with respect to the rural economy. The economy, and you in Lethbridge have sort of, you're blessed with being in both worlds. But we need to look at what we do in agriculture long term. Because as the third world gets to participate in an agricultural commodity market, and they should, if the WTO negotiations go well and there's freer trade and the third world gets to participate, that's going to make it even more difficult for us to grow common commodities, to dump them into a common bin and sell them into a world market. Now, that doesn't mean we want to keep the third world out. They ought to have the opportunity to play. They need to have the opportunity to participate. What it means is we have to find our niche. We have to know what products we're going to develop, grow and sell, or create and sell, which we can sell into a world market because they have value, either because of their quality or because we've extracted the most value from the production. And that's where we're going to be. That requires us, again, to pursue knowledge. But that's how we take our current prosperity and turn it into our future prosperity. We take the non-renewable resource revenue, we invest it in endowing the future, and we use those endowments to create the knowledge base, the research base, and the understanding, which will both make it more effective for us to develop as a society. That's where the Social Sciences and Research Fund comes in, to know and understand the impact of violence in our society, to know and understand the impact of different cultures coming together in a cosmopolitan society, but also to know and understand how we impact our environment and to develop the knowledge and the knowledge commodities to allow us to trade into the future. So whether it's, again, in our traditional economy or our new economy, taking our non-renewable resources, husbanding them, growing them in a fund, but growing them with a purpose, not just so that we can have a multi-hundred-billion-dollar fund to relieve us from paying taxes. I'm sorry, but first of all, that's not going to work in a Canadian context because we're a subnational government. So people who point to Norway and say they have a $250 billion fund, and why can't we do that and then relieve ourselves from paying taxes, are forgetting that we are part of a country. And if we raised and kept that kind of a fund solely for the purpose of replacing our obligation as citizens to pay for what we get, we will break that Canadian fabric. We can't do that. But what we can do is invest that fund in a renewable way so that we grow knowledge, the knowledge is shared with the world, the knowledge is shared with the country, and the economic opportunities that we develop are also shared with the country. Because when we have a prosperous economy, Ontario benefits from that. Ottawa benefits from the taxes they collect, but the jobs that are being created from the development of our economy now are not just jobs in Fort McMurray. They're not just jobs in Edmonton. They're not even just jobs in southern Alberta. They're jobs that are created across the country. And that people, I think, across the country know and understand the economic impact and the economic value of that. So prosperity is the third P. The fourth P is participation. And in essence, it's what you've been doing so well here for 35 years. It's the fact that we as citizens have to be engaged in the political process and the policy development process and the governance of our community and our province. And while we have good institutions, we need to be able to check them and say, are they still doing their job well? So we ought to look at our legislature and say, are there ways in which we can do it more effectively so that Paul Hinman and Bridget Pasteur, as members of the of two different opposition groups, can play an effective role in that legislature? We need to do that. Because opposition is important. The discussion is important. The exchange of ideas is important. And I'm not encouraging you to elect more opposition, but the legislature has got to be, at the pinnacle of our political process, has got to be an effective pinnacle of the political process. And I have some ideas on that that I'll be talking about during the course of the discussion, over the course of this 9 months that we're talking about. But we can't jump to the easy answers. There's suggestions, for example, that we have fixed election dates. Now, I don't have any problem with a fixed election date. There's some value and merit to having a fixed election date. But it doesn't answer the question of how we engage the public more. It's not an answer. It's a thing we can do. People talk about proportional representation because they would like to see a more a proportional reflection of the actual vote in the legislature. That may be an answer, but I haven't seen a system yet where that works to the extent where it doesn't disconnect the elected representative from the elector. And that's an important thing we have to take into account. And so what I'm saying is we need to talk about our governance. We need to talk about involvement. We need to talk about how we do community governance better. But let's not just jump to the easy answer. Let's get into a real discussion about how we can make this democracy be the best in the world. So those are the four P's that I'm going to be talking about. Government needs to be a developing policy framework. It needs to be strategic. It needs to think long-term and big picture. It needs to check back with the public to say, is that the direction that you want to go? Do we agree on the future of the province? And then it needs to work with either government, the private sector, the not-for-profit sector, the volunteer sector, or a combination of those for delivery, and then audit the results to say, are we achieving the outcomes we wanted, and are they still the outcomes we wanted? So the policy framework is important, the policy discussion is important, and the role of government is to think big picture and long term and help create the platform so that we as individual Albertans can use our talents, yes, for our own economic benefit, but more importantly, to contribute back to helping build our community as citizens of this province and citizens of this country. I'm going to stop there because I've seen Trevor looking at his watch several times. I understand there will be an opportunity for questions and comments, and I look forward to your input, your advice, because this ought to be, not only today, but the next 9 months, a very thorough discussion about our future, about what kind of a province we want to live in, and what kind of a province we want to leave our children.